Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We are very fast coming up for 25 past four. It's time for our COVID slot. And once again, I'm going to be chatting to Dr. Daniel Israel, a GP at Dr. Daniel Israel and Associates at Bluebird Medical Center in Burnham, Johannesburg. Daniel, as always, great to have you with me here on The Overdrive.
Great to be with you, Simon.
So you are going where many fear to tread, and you're going to be talking about the use of anti-Semitism as an analogy for vaccine mandates, because I, for one, am completely irritated, angered, and livid at seeing anti-vaxxers appropriate Jewish Holocaust symbols, such as yellow stars and the like, to try and make their case.
Absolutely, and I thought it would be interesting to for us to chat about this for a moment. I know time is short, but it's unbelievable how far the anti-vaccine movements have taken their movements against vaccine mandates and pro-vaccination to the point of saying that it's similar to labeling Jewish people before the Second World War and the Holocaust, and, you know, kind of making them wear a Star of David, so much so that they in America in the last 2 days, they've presented at demonstrations wearing a star that says, like, you know, I am an anti-vaccinator, and saying that, you know, forcing people to do vaccines is really is discriminating against those who don't. And I think that we must keep reminding ourselves that this, we are looking at medical evidence here for and against vaccination. And that viruses all around the world and conditions all around the world require certain vaccination and intervention. In the same way as you can't travel to certain countries without a yellow fever vaccine, it might be that society has decided to make the call that you can't live in a certain place or work in a certain place without a COVID vaccine. But that is not analogous to infringing on someone based on, or sorry, persecuting someone based on their religious or cultural rights. And it's so interesting to see just how far this thing has gone.
Yeah, Daniel, it blows me away the extent to which Second World War Jewish symbols have been appropriated by the anti-vax movement, and it just seems to be growing and growing and growing. And there's a certain obscenity there, and whilst one could have issues with the issue of choice and individual choice, and nobody for 1 minute is not acknowledging that there's a point made by anti-vaxxers, it's the comparison that is just so obscene. Last time we checked, nobody was put into concentration camps and left through chimneys. That just isn't happening. It's an obscenity in my eyes. But let's move to something much more positive. And this is the fact that Pfizer is talking about opening up its patent of its new drug. Is this the oral anti-COVID drug that you are referring to?
So this is the oral anti-COVID drug that we spoke about last week. And what's really interesting is that we've seen that already Merck has done this. And what's really been difficult in terms of vaccinations with COVID-19 is that it's taken a long time for companies that develop these vaccines to be able to roll the vaccines out because of patents. And we understand that there's a whole process of recuperating costs in terms of research and development. But in this new news, Pfizer actually signed a document today saying that it would be open to, that's actually applied for partnership with other generic manufacturing companies across the world to be able to open up the manufacture of the antiviral drug. And it's really great because if the two leading companies do this, it will mean that developing countries where drugs are manufactured on home soil will be able to offer these drugs to affected people without delay. And this can really make a big difference to bringing this whole pandemic under control across the world.
If we're talking about patents and they're talking about opening their patent for the oral vaccine, or the oral drug, why would the same discussion not be had in regard to the vaccine itself?
So we are seeing that more and more with the vaccine, and they are opening more across the board now to, we've seen it certainly in South Africa, vaccines are now going to be start being made locally in South Africa, and we've certainly seen in China, vaccines are made in India. But the point is that it's great to see how so early in the process this opening up is happening, because we know that in drugs in general, there's a patent that falls on a drug. Often it's for 5 years and it can be extended. And when a company owns a drug, it becomes very unavailable. So this is really a great example. And I don't know the ins and outs of the business side of it, whether it would be to their advantage in terms of greater, because they're certainly still going to be involved, and so the partnership will be better for them from an economic perspective or not. But it is really an example of how the collaboration between companies can get effective treatments to people quicker. And it's really a pertinent thing for South Africa, because I must say, very anecdotally still, but we are definitely starting to see an uptick in cases again, and certainly on a community perspective. And it would be wonderful to know that there's actually a drug out there that is accessible, not just invented, but accessible, that we're able to treat people with should the next wave come sooner than expected.
And with that, Daniel, as usual, you brought us to 4:30. Thank you for your input this afternoon. Right now, though, it's time
Thanks
for news.
Simon.
Cheers, Daniel.